KSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today I have a fabulous guest. It's Vicky Chow. She's going to be talking to us about her project coming up this weekend, and as well as her passion for music and her particular purpose that she sees for her life as one of the people proclaimed as a new shining star. Good morning, Vicky.
We could say hello. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this wonderful new project that you're
hello.
Doing.
Yeah, hello. Yeah. Yeah, so during the pandemic, I recorded the Philip Glass Piano Etudes Book 1, and I'll be performing them on Music on Main on March 28th at the Christchurch Cathedral. It's a collection of 20 etudes in total, but I've only recorded Book 1, which is the first 10, and they were written in over a span of kind of like 15 years or so. Or 20 years, like starting in the 90s to the 2000s. And Mr. Glass wanted to improve his piano playing. And so he decided to write this set of etudes. You know, in the history of the piano etude, many composers of the past also wrote them. Etudes are studies, usually of a particular technique on the instrument. I think these are kind of the 21st century pianist's book to the piano.
Wow. And I've heard that you have been, they've said, monster on the piano, but in a good way. How long have you been interested in doing that particular work, his particular work?
Well, I am a classically trained pianist. I started piano when I was 5, and I've always been playing the traditional repertoire, you know, Beethoven, Mozart, Chopin. When I was finishing my studies at the Juilliard School in New York, I started kind of questioning, you know, why was I playing the same Beethoven sonata as all the other pianists in the school, you know? Everyone in their practice rooms were all playing the same thing. And I just wondered, like, what is it that we're going to do with this? You know, like, we're all going to graduate and play the same music? That was a little bit strange to me. And that's when I discovered contemporary classical music. I started working with living composers, people that are still writing classical music today. Fast forward, you know, 15 years now, I've been concentrating on working with living composers and contemporary music. I got to meet Philip Glass, who is kind of like one of the biggest like American minimalist composers living today, at one of the Bang on a Can music marathons. I play piano with an organization called Bang on a Can, which was started in 1987 by 3 composers who wanted to create a space where their music can thrive, because there wasn't a space for their music at that time. And so I'm in kind of the in-house ensemble, and we tour and perform their music along with other composers' music around the world. They put on an annual kind of a music marathon from music from all parts of the world. We put it all together in New York City. And one of those marathons, I got to meet Philip Glass. We actually shared a piano together. We played piano 4 hands. And that was really cool. I was really nervous. and I was so starstruck and that I didn't say anything to him. I was just too scared. I mean, we just said hello and that was about it. A few years after that, he invited me to perform with him in Winnipeg at the Winnipeg New Music Festival, to work on these etudes. And that was my first time encountering these pieces of his. And I fell in love. I completely fell in love. And this was in 2018. I got to play four of the etudes on the concert because we shared the concert. Philip Glass performed himself as well, and three other pianists. Since then, I fell in love with the pieces, and I decided I'm going to learn all 20 of these etudes, and I did. I learned all 20 of them. When the pandemic hit, I wanted to work on these pieces more, and I decided to record book one. And it was finally released last year on the Cantaloupe Music label in celebration of Philip Glass's 85th birthday. So it kind of coincided with his birthday, which is really great. So long story short, I guess I met him, you know, a while ago, and I finally got to play his solo piano works. And then I worked on it during the pandemic, and it finally came out last year. And so now I'm performing them live in concert.
Oh, so it sounds like a big combination of a purpose and a passion. Since you were five, it seems that what you're doing is also educational, because a lot of people say they don't like classical music because it's the same five people. Do you find more people coming to concerts or asking you, showing more interest in classical music now that you're not just doing the traditional people?
Yeah, I find that because the type of classical music that's being written today takes a lot of influence from music, from other genres of music. So you will hear things that sound like a little bit poppy, or you'll hear things like jazz in classical music, or uses of electronics. So there's a mixture and fusion of styles that's being written. So the sounds that you hear in classical music, usually when you think of classical music, it's like the symphonies, the orchestra, like, you know, very, you know, music that sounded like 200 years ago.
Right.
But right. But the composers now living today, you know, they have the same influence. They're listening to the same music that, you know, everyone is listening to, and especially with the internet, you have access to so many different types of sounds and art around the world and from different cultures. And so there's a lot of influence of that that's contemporary, that for someone going to listen to a new music concert today, they're going to hear things that they will feel comfortable listening to, they'll be able to connect with, because it's sounds that you hear in a lot of different music that we hear in, like, pop music, for example.
Yeah. I was going to say, yes, this is still International Women's Month. How do you feel that your work is broadening the opportunities for women in music?
Yes. So that's another thing, right? Like the history of classical music has been, you know, dominated by white men. And so with working with living composers, we're able to work with women composers, women who are, you know, people of color, black composers, people from all over the world. It's not just, you know, one kind of demographic anymore. So we are able to help and promote composers from many different backgrounds. It's much more inclusive. And on top of that, when you're working with living composers, you get to talk to them, you know? You get to talk
Imagine
to them about
that.
The music. Right. Like, you know, if you're playing Beethoven, like, you can't ask him about what he meant in that measure. You know, here you can get to collaborate with someone who's actually able to talk and discuss things with you, which is very exciting. But in the efforts of, you know, it's International Women's Month still, and yeah, we're able to, in this field, there are not a lot of women, and it's, and still, like, you know, orchestras are still not programming women as much, but there has been strides towards making that change, but it's still not enough. But yeah, so one of my efforts is also to help mentor and also commission women composers, and also work with women, other women artists as well.
Well, you picked my brain. I was just going to ask you about mentors. Who are some of your mentors, and what do you see as the role of mentors in the way it's influenced your career?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been very lucky, I think, with my career, especially when I started doing new music. I have met many, many really amazing composers who have been mentors to me. Like one of them being an artist, a composer, saxophonist, John Zorn. You know, he has a record label. You know, he's more in the improvising scene, but he's also like one of the great American composers as well. And he's been a mentor to me since I met him in 2008. He actually gave me my first recording deal, I guess you can say. I released my first album on his record label, which was amazing because, you know, I had never recorded anything before, and he basically, you know, gave me a budget and was like, okay, like, you know, you have these pieces that I really want you to record. Take this as a learning opportunity. You know, he told me, take your time. You know, if you have any questions, just ask me, but use this as a learning opportunity to learn how to record an album, you know? And I did, I took the time and I figured out how to do it. And then I released my first solo piano album in 2011. And that took me a few years to do because I met him in 2008 when I was still studying. Yeah. It was such a funny story. I remember I played a concert and I shared it with another pianist. And at that time I performed these pieces by my friend, who was studying at Juilliard. We were classmates at Juilliard. I was performing some of his music on this shared concert with this other pianist, and she heard them and she's like, oh wow, those are really fantastic, you know, do you mind if I share your contact with someone? And I was like, yeah, sure, you know, like she wanted to just tell them about me. And a few days afterwards I get this email from John Zorn, who had checked from my, like, you know, he checked out my website, and I had kind of like a rough live recording of these pieces, and he was just like, you know, those pieces sound fantastic, it would make a great release on Zodic. So that's how I met him. It was because by chance I played a concert and shared it with somebody, you know, one of his colleagues, and that's how I got connected with him. And that was 2008, and I was still in school then, so it was very exciting. So he's one of my mentors. Another one of my mentors is Tanya Leon, who right now is kind of having a great moment in her career. She's just like won so many awards, and she's just so great. And she's also a pianist herself. And she's just someone that I had met along the way that I feel an affinity to, maybe because, you know, I also know that she's a pianist, but also because I know she came to the States at a very young age, you know, by herself, and she had to kind of make it in this field, you know. And I feel kind of similarly, like I moved to New York when I was 17, and I've been just trying to navigate this world by myself, you know. You know, and she's provided a lot of support. I feel like she really believes in what I do, and she's given me a lot of opportunities as well. And I've performed a lot of her music. So, yeah, I've been really, really thankful. And for me, like, I've been trying to do the same for other artists as well, you know, trying to provide them opportunities or mentorship. I am a mentor at the Juilliard School. Every year I'm paired with a student. And I've been doing that for a while now. From 2010 to 2015, I used to produce and curate a concert series here in New York. It was just like a passion project for me. I wanted to help create a space for other emerging young contemporary artists and performers to be able to showcase their work, you know, without the limitations of, you know, someone telling them what they have to program. Like, I just wanted to give them a space for them to showcase their work. And that's what I did for about 5 years. So I kind of lost access to the venue. So I've had to put a stop to that, but it was a really great, 5 years, to be able to connect with so many different artists that, you know, had so much tremendous talent and also great, you know, thinkers and unique voices in our field. And it's all new music. It was not any traditional music. So that was very exciting to be discovering all these great younger artists and providing them the opportunity.
Now, that's a wonderful thing to do. Put in a plug for CJSF as a community college radio station. One of its functions is to be a platform, a place where new musicians can release their music and be heard with, you know, especially those who don't have a big budget, don't have a producer. I think what you shared about coming to New York early and about your mentor, what are the kind of words of encouragement can you give to somebody who might have come to Vancouver at 17 and is just wondering, how do I get connected?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, be patient, you know, because with any of this, I think it takes like an accumulation of time and getting to know the community, being in the community, you know, letting people know that you're there and around. A lot of it is going to concerts and meeting the people who are already doing it, you know, in the scene, you know. And I find that usually people are excited to meet other artists and like-minded people. So don't be afraid to go up to an artist that you just saw at in a concert and go up and talk to them, you know, introduce yourself. Like, don't be afraid. Usually they're very excited to like learn about someone who's just moved there. You know, they want to know like what kind of music you're doing. Yeah, just get to know them and put yourself out there. And I know that's hard to say. I mean, I don't know Vancouver specifically, but you know, what I was trying to do with my series was give a platform for artists to showcase their work and, you know, ask around and see if there's places you can play at, you know. There's going to be a lot of legwork that you're going to have to do, you know, early on. A lot of things that you're going to have to do on your own, you know, like, you know, without a publicist or whatever. Like, you're going to have to do your own marketing and do your own promotion. But, you know, the thing that I learned early on was like, well, if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it for you, you know? So, it does take some grit. But it also takes, you know, just kind of being, you're excited about your art and you're excited about your music. And when you go out there and you show people how, you know, that same enthusiasm, people are going to catch on. People are going to feel your energy and your enthusiasm and your passion and your love and your excitement. And that's contagious, you know? So just going out there and doing what you love, like, that's going to slowly, everyone's going to know about it, you know? there's so many things that are unpredictable. But I think putting your, you know, best foot forward, I think it's the best advice.
Yeah, I think, you know, you gave so many examples from meeting Philip Snow, having a chance to play with him and being just too awestruck initially to talk. What are some things, signs that people can give to someone that they are serious about their career?
What are some signs? Well, I mean, you mean signs as in like, you know, talking about it, like with sharing the information with the people they meet. I mean, I guess like, you know, there's just some kind of like practical things like, you know, one can do, like, you know, like nowadays, like, you know, having kind of like a social media presence, you know, or, you know, cause you know, if you don't have, you know, a budget to start your own website, you know, get a domain and like get all that stuff, you know, even if you just have social media, like Instagram or something, you know, and you can just post your work, you know, having that kind of portfolio, like a place where people can see your work and hear your music, you know, places like Bandcamp, like if you can self-release your own music, like you don't necessarily have to have a label anymore, you know, these are very great resources for individual artists to put their work out there for people. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, you know, if you can have a website, that would be great. But, you know, there are just all these other, like, free platforms that someone who, you know, who may not have the budget to do so can use to showcase their work. Yeah.
Well, I think being open, one of the ways that people are going to hear you showcase your work, tell us about Christchurch, I mean, yeah, Christchurch Cathedral. Have you played there before?
I think I did once, like maybe in like 2010 or 2011, a very long time ago. So I have a very vague recollection of the space. I have been to perform in Vancouver in the past with Music on Main as well, but we've been performing in different venues. But I haven't been back at the church for a long time.
For people who are local and may not know, tell us a little bit more about Music on Main.
Well, Music on Main is an organization, a presenting organization in Vancouver that does a lot of traditional and cutting-edge music all throughout the year. I have been working with them since 2010. They were one of the first presenting organizations that I started working with, and who invited me back to Vancouver to perform in my hometown, because I'm originally from Vancouver, but I don't know if you knew that or not. So that was really, really fantastic to have someone who believed in me. You know, I had just graduated from school, and I cold emailed them, and David Pay, who's the artistic director, believed in me. And, you know, he's never heard of me before. I didn't know him, but he's heard my work, knew that I was from Vancouver, and gave me that opportunity to share the music that I was working on. And I was playing all contemporary music. This is another thing, right? For someone to take a chance to present new music, that's huge, to, you know, to support that, because there isn't the audience out there for it. You know, even the classical music, the traditional classical music, it's not big audiences that go to these shows, you know, and to do something even riskier, you know, music that you've never heard before. That's a big, you know, a lot of faith in that, in the ability of that the performer, you know, will be able to perform these works, and also in the composers writing these. So Music on Main has been supporting, you know, artists. Locally, they produce a lot of concerts of local musicians, traditional music, but also, you know, artists from around the world. I know, like, you know, I get to come back and perform. I know other musicians from the U.S. or even someone from, like, I know that they've had someone from, like, Australia come, like, a percussionist. So they really are a local, a national, and an international organization that's doing really fantastic job promoting music in Vancouver and bringing artists from around the world to local audiences.
Okay, so we have that special date, the 28th. Tell us again about the what you're going to be doing on that special day.
So in celebration of my album that was released last year, I'll be performing the works of Philip Glass, Piano Etudes, Book 1. Yeah. And there are 10 pieces in that book, and they are really, really, really fantastic. There, you get a wide range of different uses of the instrument, and I hope you can come and don't miss the show.
Yeah, we're going to periodically be playing some pieces from that so people can see what they don't want to miss. The album, will the venue have the albums available for people to purchase when they come to the show?
Yes, I'll be bringing them, so they will be available for purchase.
Okay, and again, the name of the album?
Philip Glass, Piano Etudes, Book 1.
An etude. Spell etude.
Oh, etude. Etude.
See, I had it all wrong, so I'm glad you spelled
Ah.
it. It's really educational because, I played a violin
Oh,
and
yeah.
like this, the classical ones.
Here, I'll type it. I typed it in the chat. So
Okay.
there you go. Philip Glass, Piano Etudes, Book One. Yeah.
And again, so that people will understand these books, when there's book one, what's the significance of book one, two, three, four for an artist?
Well, I think usually for, a composer like kind of having a book one or book two, like they're really focusing, or one compilation versus the next compilation, like one set kind of has like a particular vision, altogether that makes sense that as a collection, and in this particular case, the book one I feel like is a little bit more straightforward musically, in terms of like the structure and harmonically, everything is quite straightforward. But in book two, I can see he kind of departs from that. There are a lot more juxtapositions in harmony, and ideas, things that interrupt the music, and the uses of the techniques is a little bit more complex. So I would say book two is a little bit more advanced than book one, I can say. So I mean, I'm not sure if Mr. Glass sees it that way, but that's how I see these two books, how like the second book emotionally and musically goes into like much more I feel like it sounds really cinematic, but I also like notice that there are a lot of different cuts. There are things that, you think that it's going to go somewhere, but then he might just stop it and cut to a completely different musical idea, and that's very unusual, and you don't see any of that in book one. Book one is like, what you expect will happen does happen.
So, seems like we're going to go on an adventure from the different things that are in these books. What's your mindset, or how did you prepare for playing such a diverse range of things?
Yeah, that's a great question. It the whole book one, performed in its entirety is an hour long. But they are consisting of 10 pieces, right? So all of these pieces are very short and they all have different characters. And actually sometimes you think, oh, well, if they're shorter, they might be, you have to be in the mindset, be in character immediately, and you only have like 5 minutes or so to make that happen. You don't have that much time, 'cause, but if you're playing a piece like a Beethoven sonata that's like three movements long and it's 20 minutes, 25 minutes, there's time, to really settle into the character and getting into the piece. There's time to develop the feel. And you don't have to switch, kind of your brain because you're in that piece for 25 minutes. But with this, like every 5 minutes you have to switch and be like, okay, it's a different character now. You got to switch. This is a different technique. So yeah, I mean, I think, the trick to playing these pieces, they're kind of like character pieces, like, in the, like a reference to kind of shorter character pieces is Schumann. Schumann wrote a lot of collections of short pieces, kind of similar. They weren't etudes, but then they were character studies, kind of like every single one was after another, literally named after another character. Either it's a friend of his or, a fictional kind of character in, some kind of story. Yeah, the trick is to, it's almost like an actor, you have to get into the mood. Yeah, so like a lot of, I mean, on top of the technical things that you have to get through with each of these pieces, there's the musical character you have to get into, into the mindset. And so, I mean, a lot of times when I'm preparing for these, like I do a lot of just kind of playing through, the whole program. A lot of it is practicing, like going through the piece one after the other. I do a lot of individual work, separating all these different pieces and focusing on things I need to work on. But part of the practice in preparing for the performance is being able to play through the whole thing.
As you said, actor, you know what this is, what's bringing up in my mind? Vancouver is called Hollywood North, and we have some
Oh,
film people out there you might want to connect, and this would make a great story.